Well, it's good to be home. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I'm walking around this morning and I'm thinking, wow, this is really nice here. You are awesome, all of you. What a blessing to be home. I love you all very much. I've missed you. It's been a very interesting time, and God has done a lot in my time off. And no, it was not a vacation. It was a sabbatical. Sabbatical is a time of rest, but the rest isn't rest. I'm going to bed and staying in bed. It's a time of rest and seeking God and really isolating from everything and seeking God. So I'm going to share this with you this morning. You know, I've not done a message like this ever, but I'm going to share what happened because I'm different. I've changed. God has changed me. He's done a wonderful work inside of me, and again, I'll share it with you. The title of the message today is called Rewired, and I really don't know if I'd call it a message or my testimony, but it's Rewired, and that's what the Lord did to me. Thank you all for the birthday cards and the well wishes. That was a real blessing. I so appreciated that. I also want to thank Pastor Sean and Pastor Jim and my pastor, Honey Rosie. They filled in my absence. My absence was abrupt. They filled in, stepped in my absence, and handled everything really well. I am, amen. You are blessed. I am blessed with them, but you are blessed because they are treasures, every one of them. Amen? Amen. Amen. I am still recuperating. I want you to know, a lot happened over a long time, and I'm still recuperating, but I have made a lot of progress toward everything and where the Lord has taken me from and going to right now. So I want you to know, I'm not done yet. All right. Amen. Bear with me. All right? Amen. Okay, that being said, also, I want to make you aware that Pastor Sean is stepping into a promotion, and he's going to be handling a lot more of my administrative and operational duties. So you don't know what that is yet, do you? Because you really don't know what I do. But he's going to be handling more and more of my operational duties with the church, and that includes a lot. So I want to fill you in that he's going to be taking over a lot of these things for me. Well, here we go. Lord, I thank you for helping me to convey the truth of what you've done, the truth of who you are, the truth of your word to my family. And what you've accomplished and completed and are taking me and I believe many of us onto. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for three Sundays, three full weeks, I have been off, as you, most of you know. And again, rather abruptly, I hit a wall. Mentally, emotionally, physically hit a wall. If you've ever hit a wall in your life, then you understand a little bit of what I mean. And it was either take the time right now to get restored, to seek the Lord and get restored and get answers and get direction and get rewired, or I really had the choice of going right on forward to a heart attack or a stroke and heaven. That's where I was. That's not where I'm at now, but that's where I was. Now that's real. I'm not fudging any of this. Okay? So I came face to face with my own mortality. And it was, you need to make a change. You need to face this and you need to make a change, right now in your life? Well, the best way to do that is to be with the Lord. What had happened to me, and all this happened, all this came from how I have processed stress all of my life. Any of you that know me, you know I'm kind of a type A person. Don't chuckle too much. But it's true. I'm kind of a type A person. It's why I've had the positions that I've had. It's why the best person you can put, and I'm not blowing my own horn here, but the best person you can put into a position is somebody that's type A, because they'll burn out trying to get things done. That is my makeup. So I've had to kind of be on guard with this in me for a long time. But it's a gift and it's a curse, right? This is a part of what drove me for a long time. That is how I processed stress, and it was not a healthy way. Now, being a counselor, I know these things, right? Yes. But knowing it and being aware of it in yourself are two different things. Knowing it for other people and being aware of it in yourself are different. So, let me give you a little history first, where all this started, where it came from. 10+ years back, Rosie and I left Colorado. We left Andrew Womack Ministries and our staff positions, and God brought us here specifically with a call and a vision to plant a church in this area that was to be a training center for believers, training people up, equipping believers in the what we call the grace message, preach the gospel, get people healed, get them delivered, get them freed, and really going on for the kingdom. That's been the call all this time. And this is, again, all for his kingdom. Now, God has blessed House on the Rock Church. But I'm going to tell you that it's not been without its, some of you have been with us for a long time, it's not been without its challenges. We met in a hotel for 7 years, and then and that had its challenges. And then we bought a building, this building, and it needed to be gutted. So guess who was the project manager? And we went through that, because I've done this in my life. That's been my job. And we went through the project, and we're in a gift, really, from the Lord. We have a wonderful building. We have a wonderful, wonderful family that attends church here. And then while we were going along, this all takes time, maintenance, addressing, plus the running and the operation of the church, plus the cares of, for people's lives. Because when you're pastoring, when you're a believer, you care about people. When you're pastoring, it's like you get them all, right? And it's a part of how God equips us as pastors to do this. But then there's, financial areas, there's baptisms, weddings, funerals, leading the church. It's, services every, all the time. It's overseeing the teams, and it's overseeing the staff, and it's hiring, and it's firing sometimes, which is unpleasant. It's being on guard against the demonic full time. It's being available to people as much as possible, sometimes 24/7. That's what this is. And all of this, I did not carry the stress really well. So it built up over a long, long period of time. Now, one of my scriptures is Philippians 4:13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Everything. Carte blanche. Now, when you go back to context, let's get to reality here. When you go back to context, you go back to the reality of the meaning of what Paul was speaking about in there. He meant, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, that God leads, directs, gives instruction in, right?
Yes. Amen.
Gives you in his word. You might get a rhema word, a living word, a word to you, a prophetic word, or a word from God, but it's from God. And I can do all those things by Christ Jesus who strengthens me, even though they look impossible or they're over the top too much. He walketh through. Absolutely, because you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Now that was my, if you will, that was my motto. No matter how hard, no matter how much, no matter how big, no matter how tall the mountain is, no matter what the obstacles are, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Well, not everything is God. You all know that when it comes into our lives. And I had a tendency to pick up more that wasn't God. It was good. It's all good stuff. But it wasn't all God. Consequently, I was working and have been working 50 to 70 hours a week for 10 years. Every week, after week, after week, after week, with virtually no time off, all this built up. Those were not God. Those were things, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Those things were not God. Now, some of what I'm going to share today, what the Lord was very clear on, because I didn't really know that I was going to share like this, but some of this is for you. Because when I get really nailed down to some of this, it's very specifically, the Lord said he's going to speak to some of you, probably half the church, at least, about this, because of what we all do. It isn't necessarily God for our lives. So this stress built up for a long, long time, and I can handle a lot, personally. Everybody buckles after a while. I watched big ministers that I knew buckle under the stress load that they carried. I've watched leaders in business buckle under the stress load that they carried. Because nobody is built to handle stress in an unhealthy way. So why do we do this? How does this happen? What God showed me was, I've been doing this for years and it was killing me. I didn't know that. And nobody is immune from it. It resulted in my blood pressure. This is how I knew what was going on. I had to face it. My blood pressure, went to stroke level. Heart attack level, and I thought, now I'm healthy. I've been living in divine health for years. If you know me at all, you know that I know who I am in the Lord. You know the authority that I have, and I know my authority. You know the healings that we've seen, not only in my life, but healings in this church, the supernatural, the miraculous. I know my confession. I know my statements. I know what it is to walk in faith. I know those things. I see them, and we've seen them here, and I expect to see more. But what was happening in the flag, the red flag in my own life was saying, I knew something wasn't right. I wasn't feeling good. I had headaches that were migraines for up to 2 weeks at a time. You ever had one? You know what it's like. Again, my blood pressure shot way up. Now I took my authority and I spoke my confessions and I declared who I was, and I would see results. And then it would come right back. Now, I've taught healing for a lot of years. Lord, what's going on here? This is what happens when you carry stress. And I want you to hear this. Now, stress isn't only fear and worry. Stress is a number of things. When you carry stress, your body physiologically acts and reacts against you. Your body fights your immune system. It fights against you physically. It causes problems, because what happens internally actually manifests in your health. So I would speak, I would demand, I would command, and I would see results, and then boom, it's back. And sometimes it got worse. What is going on? My body, one side of me was in faith and speaking the truth and taking authority, and the other side was saying, I'm going to fight against you, the part inside of me that I didn't realize, and manifesting. So you got these two opposing forces fighting against each other in my body. And you wonder why sometimes you don't see a healing. You know you're in authority because your body is fighting against you because of, and in this instance, the stress that you're carrying. Is making sense?
Yes.
Okay. So my question to you is, I knew, the Lord made really clear to me that I was processing the stress that I had. There's a way to process stress. Everybody's got it. There's a way to process it in a healthy way and a way that you don't. I was not processing stress in a healthy way. Are you? Because you all got it. How are you processing stress? So here's what I did. I abruptly shut everything off. I fasted and I prayed. I went to the mountain with my Father, with Jesus and the Holy Ghost. I've never done this before. Never had time. Well, what a bad excuse that is.
Amen.
That's a terrible excuse. Never had time. Who's going to take care of the church? Who's going to take care of this? Who's going to do this? Who's going to watch this? Who's going to monitor this? Who's going to hire this? Who's going to... Hey. Staff, thank you. I'm done. I'm gone. I fasted. I'm still fasting. One of the areas of fasting is I fasted from the news. You know, I haven't seen the news, heard the news in a month. Can I tell you that coming from Vegas, I'd lay odds right now. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. The government's gotten more corrupt. All of them. And our culture has gotten more depraved. The anti-Christian, anti-Christ sentiment is increasing. Did I miss anything?
No.
That's pretty much it, isn't it? I didn't miss a thing. Now, whether I'm going to continue to fast from the media and all that stuff completely, I don't know yet, because I have to tell you, there is so much peace. Not hearing blow by blow. Even in the conservative Christian news, they all operate the same way. It's all business. I want you to understand, there's a promotion of a lot of evil, even in the Christian and conservative type news. I don't think they mean it that way, but I don't know. I want you to be careful and be cautious about what you do, subject yourself to, what you feed on, because the peace that I've had, I wouldn't trade for anything. I may be like Smith Wigglesworth and just say, you know what, no newspapers, no news, no media for the rest of my life.
Amen.
I may live like that. I don't know, because God, if he wants to get it to me, he'll get it to me. So this is what I did. I went to the mountain. Staff took over everything. I didn't answer any phone calls. I didn't answer any, I mean, nothing. Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20. Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20. I want to read this to you. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. And he sent his word and healed them, made them whole, and delivered them from their destructions.
Yes.
All these things I brought on myself. God didn't do it, of course. It wasn't some gene pool excursion, but it was me. This was all self-induced. And I'm crying out to the Lord. I mean, I went to hotels and to get away and shut everything out. I fasted from Rosie. I fasted from food. I fasted from everything, in order to spend time with God. I knew that I needed to be rewired. And that was my cry. Lord, rewire me. Rewire me. Inside, rewire me. I know it's not my time to go home yet. I could have pressed through and just said, you know what? I'm going to press through till I die and go home. Be done. It's not my time. The Lord said in Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. He had been bringing this to my mind for months. You know when God repeats something to you? There's an intent here, right? So I'd read it. Now I've studied this and I've read it and I've taught on it. And you know, it goes like this. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, at first glance, maybe a little bit of meditation on that, you go, wow, that's great, praise God. That's awesome. How does it work? Really, how does it work? It took me getting away, shutting everything off, to get what I got that I'm going to share with you. Number one, there are two types of yokes in this context. And I'm going to share with you about the context, about the Greek, and about the heart of God in this for you and me. But there are two types of yokes. The typical yoke that most of us have been taught in the past maybe is the yoke where when Jesus said, come to me, take my yoke on you. It's a yoke where like two animals are yoked together and one can't pull out and one can, and you know, this kind of thing. And then there is another yoke that works like a balance beam. They carry heavy loads, heavy weights, buckets of water, things like that in the old days. That was the yoke that he's talking about. The yoke that we carry that is ours. The single yoke, not the double yoke. The single yoke. The Lord showed me very clearly that I had built a yoke for myself. This yoke was, I'm going to give you the picture of it because I was in prayer when I got this. The picture was a, if you know what a steel I-beam is, a steel I-beam, 10 foot long, with a spot that was made for my shoulders. Heavy I-beam, about 500 pounds. I used to work, part of what I did was steel construction project management. So this I-beam, it's made to carry some weight. This is big, big and heavy. Strong, unbreakable. And I had loaded that I-beam up with the weight of all of the responsibilities that I had, plus, and plus, and plus, and plus, and plus. And it broke me, finally. I'm pretty strong for a little guy. But it broke me. Broke my back. Broke me inside. When he showed me that, I set my heart to understand how Jesus, who was under stress all the time, many times, how did he process stress? How did you do that, Lord? In all the things that came against you and all the stuff that would, it could, I mean, just stuff, people, cares and compassion about people and on and on and on. How did you carry the stress? How did you process it? Because I've never known anybody to actually carry it super well except Jesus. So I set my heart to do that. First thing he told me was, you cannot carry two yokes. This is step one. You can't carry my yoke and your yoke. They're two separate yokes. They're single yokes. I've got to cast away my yoke. When he showed me the picture, the vision, the reality of what I was carrying, and I saw this for what it was, and please understand that I was taught to carry responsibility from the time I was a little kid. So, I mean, that was I got a little yoke built right then, right? And it grew up to a adult yoke, like many of you, not just me. He said, you've got to cast it away. You have to do this. I'm not going to do it. You have to do it. I can take it from you. You'll get it back. You have to cast it away. So in prayer, and I'm going to tell you real quick how this happened. While I was speaking with him, and I've been praying in tongues and stuff, I said, how do I do it? And he showed me a bottomless pit. Deep, dark, endless pit. And he said, I want you to take your yoke off of you. And I did. Literally. Took it off of me. I lifted it up. And I threw it as hard as I could into this bottomless pit. It's still falling. Right now. It's still falling. And a day went by and I was in a hotel. And a day went by and I'm still praying. I'm still fasting. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm going, wow, I feel weird. I felt weird. I felt almost naked, like this part of me isn't here anymore. I don't quite know what to do. I'm yokeless. I'm lost. And then step two, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. And while in prayer the next day, I came to Jesus. I remember my eyes were closed. I was on the edge of some kind of a seat and alone with the Lord and in his presence. And I saw Jesus. And he came to me. This is the real deal, folks. He came to me. Now, I'm going to describe you real quick, but there was this glow and just golden glow. And I could not see his face, but only from the neck down. And he held out to me his yoke. And it was, it was just a little tiny thing. No wider than my shoulders. Light. Small. He said, you have to take mine on you. You have to take it up. You have to do this. And that's what I did. I picked it up out of his hands. And I raised it up and put it over my head and on my shoulders. I was changed. Instantly. Jesus rewired me at that moment and I could feel literally the difference. The lightness, the featherweight, the ability to move, it was unbelievable. I came home after this experience and I freaked Rosie out. She didn't know what to do with me. I'm on cloud nine. I've never been there before. I'm too realist. Jesus rewired me. I want to read to you how he gave to me Matthew 11:28-30. Again, this is context. This is the Greek, Aramaic, this is the heart of God and what he said to me in these three scriptures. Please bear with me. I'm going to read it through, okay? But this was for me, and I believe that this is for a number of you, all right? Verse 28. Hurry and come quickly. Don't delay or hold back, put off or wait for another time, but come right now. All of you who are so tired mentally, emotionally, and physically from being so very weighed down and overburdened, I who have all the power and authority and ability in the universe and creation itself will and desire and have always had for you refreshing and the rest that comes from the cessation of your labor. Verse 29. Take up my yoke for your very own. Own it. Make it yours and so much a part of you and your life that you never again forge your own yoke for yourself, which hurt you and would destroy you. You cannot carry two yokes, but were made for only one, mine, which is built by me, designed by my purpose, my heart, and love for you, and is light in weight and simple and easy to move. Continue to learn of and from me in who I am as a son to my Father, and what I mean to him as his son, along with who he is as a father to me and what he means to me as a father. Learn of my true heart and care for you. Keep accepting who I am for you. Keep digging into the truth about me, because I'm not a slave driver or harsh or mean or demanding, but gentle as someone who loves you and cares about you deeply and always. If you learn of me this way, you will continually live at peace and rest in your mind and heart. This will show up in your whole life. Verse 30. My simple yoke that I wear and I live by is made for you by me. My yoke never gets heavier or harder than my original design and purpose. My yoke will never be like the yoke you made. It will not harm you or hurt you ever. Now that your yoke is gone, you can feel the lightness and ease of my yoke that you could not feel before. Remember always, my yoke is easy and lightweight to you. Praise God. That is for all of us. That was for me personally, but that is for all of us. This is what his yoke is. This is not going to be exhaustive, but I want you to have a picture. Can you see my yoke? It's only about this wide. It's about an inch around. Fits me perfectly. It's so light, I don't even know it's there. But here's what this yoke is. Peace. Confidence. Trust. Happiness. Love. Freedom. Right standing with God. Healing. Forgiveness. Truth. Authority. Power. You see this new yoke I have? It's superpowered. This is God's grace. It looks like a yoke. It's awesome. It's changed my life. For real. The old yokes that we carry much of the time are from old habits. Have you heard the expression, old habits die hard? Sometimes it's a habit or normal or what we've learned when we're kids and grown up to and added to, built on, and we put the weight of responsibilities on there that were never ours. We put offenses on there that don't belong to us. We put, course, we put sins on there that never meant to be there. We put expectations of ourselves and or others on there that aren't supposed to be there. We put confidence in those things that will let us down on there, and then we get let down and wonder why. We put all kinds of weight on yokes, and we strengthen those yokes, and we keep building them and keep building them up and keep increasing them, and we reinforce them so they can carry more. And they're a habit that dies hard. We have a choice to make. We either keep the yoke we've got and let it kill us, destroy our lives, or we get with Jesus and we take his yoke, literally, on us. This is how this works. Jesus meant his yoke to be life. Life. Our yokes are death. Period. So what's next? Let me finish up. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We all know this, probably can quote it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, I get that, right? As a pastor, I get that, right? As a believer, we get that, right? He bought our lives. He paid for them. They belong to him. Verse 2, Paul writes, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for you. This is all about adapting to a new life. Now that's, when I say that I'm recuperating, that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm adapting to the new me. I mean, I've already been a new creation, but I'm adapting to the new rewired me. And I'm recuperating. Because there's been a lot of stuff over my life that I have done that hasn't been good, but not necessarily God. Those patterns have to be changed. My mind has to continue to be transformed by the renewing of it. And so that you're clear with me on this, this mind right here and your minds, they're the entrance to the heart where everything takes place. It won't take place without you getting it into here and getting some understanding, getting some knowledge, getting a base that can drop into your heart. You can get all revelation. I mean, you can go, we love getting revelation, don't we? Don't we? Everybody loves revelation of the word, right? You can get a revelation and you don't do squat with it, because it didn't change your life. When you get the word into you and it goes into your heart, that's when change happens and you learn how to live the way that he has given us, which is life-giving, with a new yoke. Last thing. In the midst of my prayer and fasting over 3 weeks, the Lord gave me a manual, a how-to manual for me. Would you like to hear it? Can I share it with you? Okay, 6 scriptures. And if you can picture an instruction manual with, you got the title page, and then you got the contents, you know, the list of contents, and what those contents are labeled as. I'm going to read to you in this instruction manual for getting a new yoke, how to do this. Chapter 1, leading up to new yokes. Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20. Basically, crying out to the Lord in our troubles. He always delivers and he always saves from our destructions. All we have to do is let him know. chapter 2. Understanding there is a purpose for you. Romans chapter 8, 28 and 29. And we know God causes all things to work together for the good, for them that are called according to his purpose, whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. God works it all to bring us into that image of Jesus and that new yoke. Don't you think he's not working in the midst of what you're facing right now? Chapter 3, replacing your yoke with his. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. We've been through that. Chapter 4, operating with your new yoke. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Be anxious for nothing. We know this government is failing. We know that. We know that our culture, our society is failing. It ain't never going to be the same. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus in his yoke. Chapter 5, handling new stresses. Handling the new stresses. This is learning how to adapt to a new life. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? Sounds like God's an ogre. Nah. Humble yourselves under the mighty and strong hand of God, which is for you, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him. That's how you get to this point. Because he cares for, he takes care of, he cares about, cares for you. Lastly, Jeremiah 1 verse 12, he always performs his word. Chapter 6. I want to abbreviate it. He watches over, he hastens, quickens, hurries to perform his word for you. Now, this is not the time or the place today to put on a new yoke. My encouragement for you. You know who you are, who've been laboring and heavy laden under all this junk that you've put on you. All of you do. Amen? You go home and you get alone and you do this with the Lord. You've heard how I did it. You go do it. If you're sincere, for real, if you're sincere, you'll meet with Jesus. If you're sincere, you'll get rewired too. Amen. And you will be amazed, because you will not be the same person anymore. Because you'll have his yoke on you for the rest of your life. In Jesus' name. Yes. Amen? Amen. You stand? Thank you for bearing with my testimony. I pray that it blessed you. I know this is different. My heart, my prayer is that your lives get changed, because we have a lot of things to do here in this little church. We have a big impact to make. That's what God's called us to. You are part of this. But his heart, God's heart, is for you to get rid of the yokes you have built that are killing you. And take Jesus' yoke for the rest of your life. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for this time, for this wonderful family. For the work that you are doing in their hearts right now. I know that you've been speaking with them. I know, Lord, that there's some piercing going on. Because there are many of us that are weary. And many of us need to meet with you, Jesus. To see you as you are. Thank you so much for every life that has been reached today and that will be reached through the podcast, Lord, for the changes that we have all desperately needed. Lord, we love you. We're committed to you. And we're going to get this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Have a blessed week, everybody. I love you all.